Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. We're delighted you've taken the time to tune our way. We trust that your heart will be blessed and challenged, and that there'll be some real spiritual meat for you to grow by. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1. I invite you to turn there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can turn to Thee and we can seek Thy face and seek Thee for the spiritual life that You desire us to live. Lord, we're thankful that You've given to us those things that we need to live a spiritual life. I pray that we might be faithful to Thee and then faithful to those around us to share the wonderful Word of God with them that they might be saved. We commit ourselves to Thee, and we ask for Your guidance, Your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a haven for every weary traveler. When the storm breaks, the stillness of the night, there is a safe place for all the lost and lonely to find shelter until the morning light. There is a haven for the weary soul to run to.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
there is a Savior and His open arms are waiting. And Jesus is His name.
There is a haven of comfort for God's children. You can find it when you speak His name in prayer. From all your care and labor,
there's a haven, and the Lord will meet you there.
There is a haven
for the weary soul to run to.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all the shame,
Savior and His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
There is a
haven for the weary soul to run to.
When you're tired of all the guilt and all
His open arms are waiting. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name.
There is a haven, Jesus is His name.
Amen. There is a haven, and Jesus is His name. Yes, dear friend, you can turn to Him, and He will hear your cry, whether it be that of salvation, the desire for salvation. It's your responsibility to call upon Him. Yeah, Holy Spirit draws you by hearing the Word of God. He uses that Word in your heart and life. And then you respond and accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness through His blood, and you become a child of God. And He is that haven for all the things that are going on, and the wickedness and ungodliness. He is still the haven. Now, I want you to turn with me to Colossians in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse number 23. Now, we have looked at 22 on the last broadcast, and I'm going to try to cover the balance of this chapter, but there are so many things, and if I don't get it done, guess what? Will extend. I've said this so many times. I'm not in a hurry. God wasn't in a hurry when He gave us the Word of God. He gave us His Word. He used holy men of God to speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So He gave it to us over some 1,500 years, but it's a complete record from God. Now, it wasn't that God couldn't have given all of it before. It was His own purpose in which He gave it to us. Now, look at verse number 23 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Again, I want to reiterate, God has provided in Christ everything that you and I need to be spiritual. That's all in Jesus Christ. And God wants us to be spiritual, that we might glorify Him and might have an influence on this world for righteousness. Look, if you will, with me at verse 23. Now, I guess I better go back and read verse 22, although we've already talked about that. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, I want to give to you this first thought, and don't put a barrier up at it. He is not talking about losing one's salvation when He says, if ye continue. You really could utilize another word in there that would, He says, as you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. In other words, that you believed God's word of salvation. And so He presents the ability for you and I to stand. To stand in His spirits, to stand by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'll tell you what, turn with me over to Philippians in chapter 1, and let's see, go to verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, that striving isn't at each other, but together, as a team, as an army, that you go forth in battle, so to speak, for the Lord, as a team effort. And so He says that you stand fast. The thing is this, in fact, if you go over to the book of Ephesians, and I have you turn there, Ephesians in chapter 4, and notice this matter. He is not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about if you'll accept that which He has given, you see, and then realize how it can be put to work in your life. Now, I'm going to take you over to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to just jump to verse 11. I'd ask you to read that entire this entire chapter, but I want you to see it, verse 11. And He gave some, that is, the Lord gave some apostles. These are the callings, these are the gifts that He has given unto men. And that He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, the apostles are off the scene. the prophets are off the scene unless you're referring to somebody who brings prophetic messages. I have a couple of dear friends who are very strong in their prophecy preaching. They deliver the word of God, not new things. They're not presenting anything new. They're taking the word of God and expounding it in a way that you can understand it. Those two would be Dr. Bob Sheldon, who's out of South Carolina, and Dr. Bill Shade, who is out of Pennsylvania. These two men, and there are others. I'm not only picking them. They are two personal friends of mine, and they are men who share the prophetic word. But they're not prophets like going out and declaring something like Isaiah and Ezekiel did. So forth. Now, why did God give these ministries? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ empower men to be what is declared in verse 11? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's a oneness, like one accord that we read in the book of Acts of that church, of the early church. So we might be in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or mature man. And by the way, that's what the Word of God's all about. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here, that's what we are to become through this teaching of the Word of God. And then verse 14, that you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, it is to strengthen the people of God. It is that standing for the truth of the Word of God, and then developing the believer to really fulfill God's will. Then he goes on to talk about speaking the truth in love and so on and so forth. But what I'm doing is just trying to show it to you, my friend, that God wants to work in your life, that you might continue in the being grounded and settled. You know, the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy and chapter 2 that there'll come a time when men will depart from the faith. The tragedy is that even today, men have departed from faith. Oh, no, they haven't quit believing on Jesus. No, that's not it. But they have departed from the truth of the Word of God, and they no longer take that consistent stand and have that clear demarcation line that says, I will not compromise. I will stand for the truth. And so he challenges them to stand, and having done all to stand. Again, you can look just a little bit further in this book of Colossians, and you can look at chapter 2 and verse 5. And he talks about verse 4. He said, this I say, lest any man should beguile or trick you with enticing words. And by the way, we could go back to the book of Galatians and see that Paul said to them, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the faith of the gospel. And let me give you a couple of references, three of them, in fact, out of Galatians that you can study sometime. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, Galatians 2, verse 16, and Galatians 3, verse 1. The church at Galatia was being shifted around because they were believing every wind of doctrine. They weren't standing upon the authority of the Word of God. Now, he says that they continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not be vacillating all over the place, but to be settled in the Lord. What's your stand? Are you taking a stand for Jesus Christ? Do you uphold this Word of God as God's infallible Word, that it is given to mankind that men might be saved and saved people might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Well, Paul says to these Colossian believers, and again I say in verse 19, we have all the fullness in Jesus Christ. So we can stand. We can have done all and still stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to listen to a song, then we're going to move on to another thought here, the 15th, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 7.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. One of the great old songs that ever knew. Well, let's go on to Colossians in chapter 1. And we're going to again look at another couple of verses. As Paul writes about this matter of being spiritual, the principles of being spiritual. Look, if you will, at verses 26 and 27. This is the fifth thing he gives us. Even the mystery, when he talks about the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, that even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known What is the riches of his glory, of his, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? You know, I was reading over there in the book of Isaiah, and it's rather interesting, as Isaiah makes clear the fact in chapter 42, verses 1 through 7, you can jot that down, Isaiah 42, 1 through 7, as God gives the message of what he will reveal in Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, that there will be one body, the church. He doesn't call it that in the Old Testament, but he says that the Gentiles will come and will respond to the word of God, to God. And you see, beloved, God is working in a time frame of his own, not ours. And back here with Isaiah, he makes it clear. Now, that's referenced when you talk about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that in thee shall all the peoples, nations of the world be blessed. That includes Gentiles. So God was saying the Gentiles are going to be brought in. What will be the circumstances? He didn't tell. He waits until it unfolds. And then you have over in the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, which talk about the reinstitution of Israel into that vine, the natural branch being grafted in. But he says the Gentiles were grafted in, the wild branch, into the body until the time of the Gentiles or the church be complete. Then he'll come back again and work with the Jews and reinstate them as they come back in belief. Many of them will do that. Many of them will have to give their lives, but they will come back to the Lord. So he says about revealing his word. You know, the interesting thing, and I made a note of this, that God really wants his people to know his word. So he's revealed it. All you and I need to do is study to show ourselves approved unto God. Get down and study. Roll up the sleeves, as they say, and begin to study and get your mind and heart into the Word of God as it unfolds to you. God's plan, you find that it was not anything. Even this mystery he talks about of the church in chapters 3 and 4 of Ephesians, that the Gentiles and the Jews would be brought into one hope here in verse 27. And that would be in Christ, in you, the hope of glory, which is in Christ. That the Jews and the Gentiles are going to be one body in Christ. And so God is revealing his word. My friend, he wants to reveal his word to you. Not some kind of a special phenomena. No, you, just as you get into the Bible and start studying the Bible, the Word opens up and you become a student and you become an educated student through the Word of God. I think sometimes some of the most, I enjoy very much the commentaries of Matthew Henry. And I know there are some things there. Hey, that was written way back, 1700s? So there are some things were not revealed that are revealed today. But then I look at some of these commentators who are with the Lord. Think of Warren Wiersbe. Very practical application. I know some of you are going to look there and say, well, he didn't take a solid stand. In some areas, he didn't. But you know what? As I read his books, I don't get discouraged one bit because they are right down where I live. They put the cookies right on the bottom shelf that I can get to them. And so God wants you to know his word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But then let me go to verse 28, and I want to finish out today in this portion of Scripture. Verse 28, when he says that we have, which we have in Christ, you know, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, this relationship that both Gentile and probably you're a Gentile, if not a Jew, you still can have faith in Christ and be part of that body, his body, the church, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, the role of the preacher, my role as a preacher, is to present the Word of God in such a way that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as 2 Peter 3:18 talks about. And then he talks about the growing, the feeding with meat, the feeding of the Word of God, taking on those things. And I'll give you some references that you can jot down. You can see this in 1 Peter 2:2 and Hebrews 5:13 and 14. You can go over to Colossians 3:16 through 23, Ephesians 4:14 through 16. Just some verses that show how God wants to bring growth in your life through his Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, we do have everything, and we are completely complete in him. Now, let me give you four principles out of all of these six things that we've talked about. Number one, we must think right. And that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Now, we must yield ourselves. And that's what Paul describes in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Then we have to clean up. You know, that's something we need to do. John 15, 3 and Colossians 3. Oh, you can go to Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. And the fourth thing is to lay aside the weights that beset us. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Root out any root of bitterness, chapter 12 and verse 15. Why? Because the little foxes will destroy the vine. Song of Solomon, 2:15. So the four principles that we can get from these six elements of principles of spiritual living is one, to think right, two, to yield ourselves to the Lord, clean up our life before the Lord through the Word of God, and lay aside the weights that would hold us back from being faithful to the Lord. Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Have you invited him to save you? If not, would you do that today? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Contact us at WOTBM.org and note it as Message of Truth. Ask your question. We'll try to give you the spiritual help that we possibly can. Heavenly Father, speak to hearts, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.